So this morning, as I was praying and preparing for this message, the Lord really put on my heart to share about water, about God as our living water, and just the different symbolisms of water that is referred to in the Word of God, and really unpack that for you this morning. And let's just pray that as this word is brought to you, that this is just going to encourage your faith and really just lift your faith and speak to your heart this morning. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is life-giving. It brings truth to us. It brings joy to us. God, I pray for your people today as they hear your word, that they would receive this seed that is your word into their hearts and their minds today. Father God, that you have something for each person to walk away with, a deposit that you want to put in their hearts today. We pray that your word would go forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So living water is the title of my message, and I was thinking about those things that bring satisfaction to us, those things that bring fulfillment to us, and whether that's a marriage or a family or a career. I was thinking about what has brought me great satisfaction, and I wanted to share this story that I just, oh my goodness, when you're in the present moment in this situation, it was so satisfying. And it was a time about 8 years ago when I'd had jaw surgery. I had both jaws broken and went through a period of 6 weeks on just eating liquids, smoothies and soups. And my whole face was swollen. I had Botox that looked like it had gone really wrong. I had this massive allergic reaction on my lips. They were huge. It was frightening. And I couldn't open my mouth. As my jaws were healing, I couldn't open my mouth hardly at all. But I worked out that if I got a square of Cadbury dairy milk chocolate, if I cut that in half, because it was too big to fit in my mouth with one square, I cut that in half and I slipped it in my mouth and just let it melt on my tongue. Oh my goodness, it was so satisfying. It was so satisfying. It was amazing. But you know what? It's only momentary. And there's only one person that brings complete satisfaction, that brings complete fulfillment, and that is Jesus. Jesus brings full satisfaction to our souls. You know, we were made, we were designed to long after God, to long after Jesus, to have him fill our hearts and our minds and our spirits, to have that full satisfaction and completion of him being in us and us being in fellowship with him. He is the only person, God himself, that can bring complete satisfaction and fulfillment. And what is so beautiful about Jesus is that he refers to himself as water, as living water, living water. Water. Jesus is alive. God is alive. The Word of God is alive. Living water. Come to me with going to John 7, verses 37-39. I just want to give you a bit of a background of this scripture. So Jesus is in the temple and he knows he is going to be crucified soon. And the religious people of the day who had the scriptures at hand, they were reading the Word of God, but they didn't know him. They didn't know Jesus. And so they didn't actually know God. And so this passage of Scripture, Jesus is talking to these people. In many respects, these people are the enemies because they don't know him. They say that they do, but they don't. And I want you to hear the heart of Jesus, the heart of Jesus who doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want any person to not know him. He says to these people in a moment where they were going to crucify him soon, We pick it up in verse 37. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. He's shouting to the crowds. Can you hear his desperate heart that people would know him? And he says, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Can you hear Jesus' heart? He is shouting to these people, anyone, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who knows that they need me, that they need to be just receive me. Come and drink. Come and drink of my living waters, and rivers of living waters will flow from your heart. Jesus is referring to the Spirit after he died and was resurrected, that he sent the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit lives in us. We have been made to thirst for God. Our soul thirsts. All too often we try to satisfy our thirst through other means. We think that a relationship will bring complete satisfaction. Maybe you think that, as I was talking before, maybe you think it's that dream job that is going to fill that hole in your heart. Maybe it's having a family. Maybe it's having endless holidays and travel. You know, that's just going to fill me and satisfy me. But it doesn't. These are good things, but they don't bring that full satisfaction and fulfillment that only God can bring, that only Jesus can bring. He is our living water. What Jesus offers completely satisfies your soul. Living water. Richard and I went on a family holiday in July. We went to Kalbarri and we did a number of hiking trips. We took our kids across the gorges. I don't know whether all of you have been, but these are magnificent Australian countryside, and these gorges are very rocky and hilly and cliff, and Logan, I had to keep up with him because I had the water. Logan, who's 8 now, just wanted to run across the gorges. He was like, nope, I'm going to run. So I'm trying to keep up running across these rocks and making sure that I stayed with him because I had the water. And so we had these camelbacks, and so we had these like backpacks that had a couple of litres of water that went through a tube, and whenever you were thirsty, you could sip on the water. So as we were walking, I think that gorge walk was about 6 kilometres. As we were walking, whenever we needed a drink, we had it right there with us. There's been times where I'd love to go walking around the place where I live, and I didn't know that these camelbacks existed, and I could only go so far. I might get to an hour and I'm just so thirsty. I'm so thirsty. But having these camelbacks where you've got the water on tap, where you drink when you need it. In fact, as I was doing more hikes, I worked out to drink before I needed it. So I stayed really hydrated. And the difference it makes having the water constantly available that sustained me, that gave me the strength and the energy and the ability to endure longer periods of walking, whereas not having it, I couldn't go as far. My strength was depleted. And so having this water on tap, it's the same as Jesus. Our soul thirsts for Jesus. And so we need to be drinking from him on a daily basis. We need to be coming to him and drinking from him. He is living water to us. He doesn't just give us a sip. His cup never, ever, ever runs dry. We need to come to him, Jesus is our living water that satisfies our soul, that brings comfort, that brings peace, that brings joy, that brings truth, that keeps us on the path, that is going in the right direction. It keeps us holy. So Jesus is what we drink. Jesus is the water. In John 6, verse 35, Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." When we come to Jesus, when we believe in him, he feeds us spiritual food. He pours out flowing living water into your soul. And we need him. This is the only condition Jesus puts to us for being able to drink from him, is that we need him. He says, "Come and drink." He beckons you to come to him, to see that he is God, and to drink from him often so that you are fully satisfied, fully hydrated spiritually. So I want to ask you this morning, are you dehydrated from not coming to Jesus to drink from him? Are you thirsty? Does your soul need to come and drink from Jesus, drink from his living water? Jesus says, "Come. Come be refreshed by me. Come be strengthened and uplifted. Come into my presence where there is fullness of joy, where I will wash you with my living waters." And so I want to take you to another element or aspect of what Jesus is as our living water, but also as the Word of God that is cleansing water. So the Word of God is often referred to as cleansing water. In Ezekiel 36, verses 25 to 27, the Word of God says, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations." The Word of God is referred to as water because it's a cleansing agent. That passage of Scripture is talking about how when we come to Jesus that first time, when we receive our salvation, that we are cleansed, that we are washed clean, just completely clean. In Ephesians 5, now this is talking about husbands and wives, but it's also talking about the church. 25 to 27, "For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean." So Jesus gave up his life to make the church holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. Jesus did this. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. The Word of God is cleansing. It cleans us. It washes away our sin. When the Holy Spirit applies the Word of God to our hearts, we are cleansed from all sin, all wrongdoing. And when we daily drink from Jesus, when we daily pick up the Word and let the Word minister to our hearts, we are being cleaned. He daily cleanses us. It's incredible, incredible how God has designed everything. And the Word of God is truth. In John 17:17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Sanctify here means two things. We are set apart from the evil of this world. We are children of God. We are made holy, clean, and pure because of Jesus. but it also refers to that progressive keeping us holy without sin by daily knowing his word, knowing what is true, what is the word of God. So we need to all be washed by the word of God each day. We are all fallible. By being a follower of Jesus, we all will face temptation. The enemy doesn't want us to stay holy or to stay in his kingdom. We cannot deceive ourselves to think that we can just be okay. We are fallible. And so we need to be daily washed by the word of God. I was thinking about a time when Richard and I had just gotten married. We went to Margaret River for our honeymoon because we were both students. We didn't have enough money to go anywhere else, I don't think. And we thought, well, we're adults now, so we are going to do adult things like go to wineries and do that. Okay, so I want to tell you, I've never drunk wine before, never really knew anything about it before I got married or had much knowledge or anything really at all. And so us adulting and doing this thing on our honeymoon, we bought some wine. I have no idea what it was or if it was any good. And we also bought some strawberry champagne from the berry farm when we were there. Anyway, we've come back from our honeymoon. We're house sitting because we didn't have a house for a couple of months. And I think Richard and I had been working in the morning and must have decided to go see a movie because you can do whatever you want when you're just a couple. And so I think what happened was we went and saw this movie and it went over our meal time, and by the time we got out, this was before all the shops were late night opening hours, so there was nothing open. And I think maybe we had some cheese and bacon rolls or something like that. So we hadn't eaten a lot. I don't eat much anyway, but I certainly hadn't eaten a lot. We decided to have this strawberry champagne. Now, I really like sweet things, and this was a very sweet drink. So I really enjoyed it. And the next day, I woke up, and I felt so sick. I felt so ill. I felt like I was going to throw up. My head was really, really sore. I didn't know what had happened. And this is what you do, you know, when you're adults and you're married, this is what you do. You call your mum. And I called my mum and I'm like, what has happened? I feel so sick. I feel like I'm going to throw up. And we drove to a news agency and I said, I can't get out of the car. I'm going to be sick. We have to go back home. And my mum said, well, what did you eat yesterday? Maybe it's food poisoning. And I said, well, I didn't really eat much at all because I was working. And then we went to the movies and I had maybe a roll and we just had the strawberry champagne. And she's like, well, how much did you drink? And I'm like, I don't know, a few glasses. She's like, you've got a hangover. And I'm like, no, what? I'm a Christian. How did that happen? I don't understand what has happened. I was so embarrassed. She just laughed and laughed. She told the rest of the family and my cousin. I'm like, this is so embarrassing. Do you know what's really embarrassing about it? I really appreciate good red wine. I love good aged red wine these days. And I know how to drink it. Strawberry champagne, it's not even made from grapes. It's made from strawberries. How sad is that? Oh, so embarrassing. So we're all fallible. We are all fallible. And thank the Lord that we can come and learn and understand and confess our sins and receive forgiveness and do the right thing. Amen. Amen. Okay, so be in his word. Let the word of God bring truth, bring life, bring cleansing and purification. In 1 John 5, verses 6 to 9, I just love the word, it's so rich. And Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water and by shedding his blood on the cross. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with his testimony. So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and all three agree. Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God, and God has testified about his Son. So it's through the Holy Spirit who brings revelation and conviction of us needing Jesus. It's through Christ's death and resurrection, his blood, that we have salvation. And it's through hearing the word of God, which is the water, that these three witnesses bring us to God. And what a great testimony that these three testify of who God is. And so we come to another element of water. And as the scripture refers to, it's the baptism by water. Jesus was water baptized. Now, Jesus didn't need to be water baptized. He was without sin. He didn't actually need to do it, but he did do it. And he set that as an example for us to follow. And we read about this in Matthew 3. We pick it up from verse 13. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John, this is John the Baptist, tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, after Jesus was water baptized, which is completely immersed in water, completely covered in water and come up again, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Can you imagine being with Jesus and Jesus says to you, can you baptize me? You're like, what? No way. You should be baptizing me. What a privilege John the Baptist had of baptizing Jesus and seeing Jesus come up out of the waters of baptism and the heavens opening and the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus and resting upon him. This is what Jesus wants for us. This is what he wants us to go through, to experience the waters of baptism, to go through that identification with Jesus, because when we go through the waters of baptism, we identify with his death and burial as we go under the waters, and then with his resurrection power and life as we come up out of the waters and receive the Spirit of God. We've got water baptisms in a few weeks. If you have not been water baptized, I would strongly encourage you to be water baptized. It's such an incredible, significant experience. It's something that God calls us to do out of obedience and just to receive that fullness, that complete cleansing, the Spirit of God. Amazing, amazing. I still clearly remember my water baptism today. I was 16 years old in a small Church of Christ church, very conservative church, but such a powerful experience. And there's when you go through the waters of baptism, it's a different experience for each person. You might have healing, you might get deliverance from things. But for me, when I came up out of the waters, there was such clarity. There was a real joy. I cannot explain. It really is inexpressible, complete joy that I had after I'd gone through the waters of baptism. It's a spiritual act that we are called to do. And water baptism is our spiritual birth, our second birth into the kingdom of God. So Jesus says that we are to do this. In Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We are all to be water baptized and to remain in the house of God so that we can be disciples, so that we can continue to learn and trust and be taught on the word of God and stay in community. Okay. One more verse on water baptisms and then I'll move on to our last point. Acts 2:38 says very clearly, Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I'm not ever going to compromise on the word of God. I will always have a desire to speak the word of God to you because it's truth and it's life. And sometimes in a world where it's not popular to say these sorts of things, I really want to stand with boldness and courage and just bring this truth to you today, where the word of God says each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins so that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's just turning to God. It's just turning to God. Sometimes these words are very strong. But Jesus came to give life, eternal life, and it's only through him. So the last point about water is Jesus as springs of water. Springs of water. Jesus is the source of our living water. And yes, the worship team can come up. So John 4 verses 13 to 14, Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again." He's talking about, he's actually at a well. And so he's saying, anyone who drinks normal water, physical water, will soon become thirsty again. "But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes," listen to these words, "it becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." Jesus is a spring. It's spring. Can you see the imagery of who Jesus is as our living water, as springs of water, as rivers of water, as fountain, a fountain of water? Come to Jesus to drink from his water springs. He brings refreshment. He brings cleansing. He brings pure water that never runs dry. He is a fresh, bubbling spring within your heart. In Isaiah 58, verse 11, it says, "The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring." As we come and drink from Jesus, as we come and read his word and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and minister to us and fill our souls, we will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. A river that never runs dry, a fountain that never stops. Springs of water, of living water. Jesus is rivers, springs, fountains of living water that only he can bring complete satisfaction to your soul, to your heart, to your life. Church, can we stand this morning? Oh God, my heart is that each of you would receive this word today, that you would come and drink from him, that you would come daily and drink from Jesus, so drink from the word, just let it soak into your heart and out of your heart will flow these living waters as well. with every head bowed and eyes closed, I want to give an opportunity for those of you who have not come to Jesus before, but you've heard this message, you've heard the word of God, and you know that God is saying, come. Jesus, it's like Jesus is standing here and Jesus is speaking directly to you. And he's saying, come and drink from me. He's shouting this out. Come and drink from me. I am the only one where you will never be thirsty again. I am the only one who can bring complete satisfaction to your soul. And I want you to come to me. I want you to come.